The Create and Thrive Podcast, episode 45, Reactive versus Proactive Work. So that's the pressure of social media, you know, you feel like you somehow have to respond to people straight away when they comment. You don't. You really don't. I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the Create Thrive Podcast for another week. It's great to be here with you. What's been happening? I am very excited because I am starting my yoga teacher training this coming weekend, and I've been looking forward to that for a couple of months now, so that's probably what's on my mind as you listen to this. Looking forward to that. I'm staying, it's up at the coast by the beach, so I'm staying the night up there as well in my van so I can have a little bit of beach time, which will be fantastic. I'll probably need to lie around in the sand or pal around in the water after my first day. I don't know how active it's going to be, but I imagine there'll be quite a bit of yoga happening, so probably be pretty tiring. And I'm also the following weekend doing a mini triathlon, which I've been training for, so it's all active stuff coming up for me, which is lovely. It's coming into the end of summer, autumn is approaching, so it's a really nice time to be getting outside. I'm one of those weird Australians or Queenslanders who actually doesn't like summer. It's my least favourite season because it's just too darn hot. I usually hide inside in my air conditioning most of the summer. I love spring and autumn. That's where you get the really beautiful, you know, 25 degree to 28 degree blue sky days, which are perfect for being outside with a cool breeze. So autumn is my favourite season. So I'm very much looking forward to that coming up soon. And it's been great. We've got wonderful students in Wholesale Know-How and Setup Shops just wrapping up. There's another self-study course coming up in a couple of weeks too, about visual branding for your business. And that's got a guest teacher who's come on board to share that workshop through Create and Thrive. So keep an eye out for that. I'll tell you more about that when it comes out in a couple of weeks. But that's what's happening in the Create and Thrive world over the next month. So today, I've popped in to talk to you a little bit about different types of work. Reactive versus proactive types of work. This is a really important topic, and it's one that became really clear to me a couple of years ago. I had been growing Ferial for a good amount of time. I think I'd also had, you know, gotten Create and Thrive off the ground. And while I was pretty good at, you know, getting new projects started and things going, I was finding that I was, you know, I felt like I was working too much, and I felt really kind of stressed and like there were things piling on top of me. And I decided to take a digital sabbatical. So I had a few days offline completely. No email, no social media, nothing, you know, because obviously when you have an online business, you're pretty much connected all the time. And it was a wonderful reset for me. It was a time to kind of recalibrate to the real world outside the internet. Stupid thing to say, the internet's just as much a part of the real world as anything else. But I guess the immediate world, not through a device. And it really woke me up to the fact that I was spending far too much time doing reactive work and not enough time doing proactive work. So I just want to share a quote with you. A book I read at the time when I had my sabbatical was called Manage Your Day Today, and it's by 99U. That's 99U. It's a website that is all about creative work and life. So check that out if you've never seen it before. There's some great stuff on there. But this quote is from that book, and it's by Scott Belsky. And he says, "Through our constant connectivity to each other, we have become increasingly reactive to what comes to us rather than being proactive about what matters most to us." So that quote really encapsulates the biggest takeaway that I got out of my sabbatical. You know, because you know, most of you listening, I'm assuming, if you're over 30, like me, you probably remember what life was like before the internet. Have you ever really sat down and thought about the fact that, you know, we were the last kids to grow up without the internet? It's pretty amazing. Like, that's a huge shift in the culture of humanity. You know, when I was a kid, if, you know, and I was a pretty, curious kid, you know, I was always thinking about stuff. I would read anything I could get my hands on. So I was always thinking about stuff, and, you know, so often, and I lived in the country, so, you know, my school library was pretty, and my teachers and my parents were pretty much my font of knowledge was that. I couldn't just, you know, go down to the local, city library or anything. And so, you know, often I would have a thought about something, and it would just, I'd be like, I wonder what that, you know, what's going on there, and then I would just forget about it. You know, it's not like these days where the moment you think about something or you have a question about something, you can just look it up. I mean, how amazing is that? Like, in your pocket, you have the combined knowledge of humanity from all time. I think it's pretty phenomenal, and maybe we don't stop to think about that quite as much as we should and appreciate it. So, you know, that is an amazing gift that has been given to us. However, there's also a cost that comes along with that gift. And that cost of connectivity. Conversely, I am actually really pleased I am not a teenager these days. The idea of, you know, high school was bad enough. You know, I was one of the nerdy, smart kids, whatever. You know, not the typically popular kids. And I never wanted to be popular, but you've always got that issue where you get teased or, you know, there's peer pressure and stuff like that. Can you imagine how much worse it is for teenagers now? You know, they can't escape. It's like when I used to go home, it was like, ah, awesome. I've left all that rubbish at school. I mean, I loved school. I loved the learning, but the social stuff, you know, no, not interested. So these days, you know, there's no escape for kids. You know, they've probably got their own phone. It's in their pocket all the time. There's Facebook and Snapchat and whatever else the young people are using these days. But, you know, there's that pressure and that pressure to be always available and always responding is, I think, really heavy. And that's, you know, what's happening with the teenagers. But we are not immune. Us older folks are not immune from that. We suffer from the same thing, is that pressure, and itself instituted pressure as well, you know, because you may forget, but you are the master of your own time. You are the one who controls what you do with your time. And so if you're feeling pressure that you're not you're not responding fast enough, or you're not in the know enough, it's pressure you're putting upon yourself. But I totally understand that pressure, and I feel it myself, you know. So I'm not saying I've overcome this problem, but I've minimized it drastically through my routine since having this realization. I still sometimes feel it, but it's pretty rare for me to feel really stressed about not responding to things fast enough anymore, or not always being available, because I've really dug deep and gone, well, what's important to me? Time offline is important to me. Time to spend with my family and friends is important to me. Time to spend with myself is the most important thing to me. Yeah, I was an only child. I am an only child. And I was always very happy as an only child at entertaining myself and reading. And I've always liked my own company. So, you know, for me, it's kind of imperative that I have time by myself on a regular basis, or I start feeling a little bit crazy. So, you know, realizing that I had to consciously step back and take that time for myself was a big turning point for me in my business. You know, I was not interested in being always available 24/7, you know, checking my email first thing in the morning and checking it before I went to bed and answering. And I was doing that, and it was draining my energy horribly. You know, connectivity is crucial to my business. Obviously, both of my businesses are online business, and it's true for any business. You know, you have to respond to your customers within a reasonable time frame. You know, you have to be visible, you have to be useful, engaging, and entertaining on social media and in your email. You know, that's a never-ending part of my job. And it's the job of anyone who wants to grow a solid business in the 21st century. Because whether you have an online business or a brick and mortar business, you need to have an online presence. And, you know, that's a huge part of marketing. And, you know, that's kind of the double-edged sword of social media, especially. It's fun and it's engaging and it makes it a potentially dangerous time suck. One that I've fallen victim to, and I'm sure you have many, many times, probably on a daily basis. You know, you maybe checking your email, working through your email, working on a project, and then you just find yourself gravitating back to Facebook or Instagram and getting sucked in for half an hour, and then you look up and you're like, whoa, where did that time go? I totally just got sucked in. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's somehow contained and you're not... There's two things here. It's somehow contained. Like, if you're doing it for fun, that's great. But don't try to... I was going to use a rude word there, but I won't. Don't try to convince yourself that you're working, because you're not. You know, if you're deliberately getting on social media to post something or to actively respond to comments on your account, yes, you're working. But as soon as that finishes and you get sucked into, you know, the latest story from your favorite page or whatever, and then you go into the little, you know, vortex of following links, you're not working anymore. You're just, you know, you're, I won't say wasting time, because you might be learning something useful, but you're not being proactive with your time, you're being reactive, coming back to what we're talking about. So that's the pressure of social media, you know, you feel like you somehow have to respond to people straight away when they comment. You don't. You really don't. My rule of thumb is 24 hours. If I respond to something within 24 hours, I think I've done my job. And the same goes for email. You know, email, you probably feel exactly the same pressure. It's that, you know, all-pervasive and slightly amorphous feeling of stress we feel if we're not constantly checking our email. It can really eat up productive time, because you just keep getting pulled back into that vortex of checking your email rather than processing your email. So it's a mind shift to go from the thought of checking your email. That means just looking at it going, oh, what have I got, to I'm going to actually process it. So I'm not actually going to go look unless I have time set aside to work my way through and deal with it all. And I got that idea really from the Inbox Zero method. So we'll link to that in the show notes if you've never heard of Inbox Zero before. It's a really powerful method to keep your inbox under control. Since I started implementing it, I'm not always perfect, but generally speaking, I have less than 10 emails in my inbox ever. Unless I wake, you know, when I wake up in the morning, there'll be more, and then I process them to zero, and then the more will come in during the day, and I'll process some of those, and I'll leave other ones for, you know, I have different times of day, I do different things. So for example, I only write down orders once a day, and I do that during that morning processing. So any orders that come in during the day, I don't actually process them till the next morning, and that's when I sit down and write them all out. So, you know, I do things in bulk and in batches and stuff like that as well. So, you know, that's just a bit of an idea. That I won't talk too much more about the Inbox Zero method. You can look it up, you can find out about it. But I do recommend checking it out. It's really, really useful. So back to what I was talking about, this whole idea of, you know, feeling reactive constantly, you know, things dinging on our phones, stuff popping up on our desktops, you know, this constant checking in on social media, email, and other interactive online spaces, like checking your blog for comments or checking your stats, things like that. We get caught in a loop of reactive work. That's actually a really funny skit that on Portlandia, where he talks about getting caught in a loop, a reactive loop. I'll see if we can find that and share that as well, because it's funny because it's true. you know, he's just checking, you know, one site and then another, and he can't get out of it. And we all get in that loop of reactive work. We're looking for something outside of us to give us something to respond to, rather than sitting back, turning inwards and focusing on what we can create and give out to the world. Okay, and that is the tension between reactive and proactive work. Many of us do far too much reactive work, especially as business gets, you know, things pick up, you get busier, you're not spending as much time at the making bench or the easel or the wheel or whatever. You're spending more time on the computer or on your phone, and so you get caught in that reactive loop cycle. And that means proactive work falls by the wayside as a victim of our reactive focus. And when I'm talking about proactive work, I'm not just talking about making, although that is, you know, making new things is a form of proactive work. Making orders that are already paid for and ordered, that's reactive work. You're making an order somebody's bought from you. Okay, you're just fulfilling an order. That's not proactive work. Proactive work is work that you do on top of anything that's reactive. So I'm going to give you a few examples from my own workday to illustrate these two types of work. So reactive work would be checking email, especially when I'm just checking to see if there's anything new. I'm not actually planning on dealing with it. Checking into social media, again, to see if there's anything new for me to respond to. Not actually actively going on there and going, okay, I'm going to deal with this now. Checking blog comments, stats, email newsletter stats, etc. Filling orders. Again, it's a vital part of my business, but it is a reactive part of my business. So proactive. Here's some examples. Logging into my email to send emails I've drafted beforehand that will move my business forward in some way. For example, sending out feelers for people who I might want to have on the podcast. So inviting people to come on the podcast, inviting possible people who want to guest post for me, reaching out to my community in some way via, you know, my email lists, those sort of emails. Another proactive thing would be logging into social media to deliberately share or schedule useful updates or ask questions. So I've actually thought ahead of time of something that will help me or help my community and logging in to share that. Writing content for e-courses, e-books and blog posts. Recording this podcast, planning and recording this podcast. You know, designing new jewelry, photographing new designs, uploading new designs. Pitching, so PR work to bloggers or to press. Those are all examples of proactive work. Things that I've gone, okay. Something else I want to add in there as well is planning. Like any sort of planning, daily, weekly, long term, any sort of planning is proactive work. You know, you have to sit down and think ahead. Think, okay, what do I want to achieve? What are my priorities? What are my goals? How am I going to get there? You actually have to take time out to do that. You know, you need to, you know, carve time out of your schedule for that planning. And if you don't carve that time out for that planning, you will just spend all of your time reacting. You know, your business will grow haphazardly if it grows at all, because you're not actually consciously trying to do the right things to grow your business. You're just hopping from idea to idea, reacting to maybe a blog post you read or something. Now, there's no, you know, obviously I write a blog, I share this podcast. I hope when you listen to these episodes, something sparks in you and you go, oh my gosh, I want to use that or I want to implement that. And that may mean that you suddenly sit down for 5 hours and work on something, but it may mean that you put it on your schedule to do later. And that would usually be my approach, because I'm like, well, I've already scheduled this entire week. I don't have time this week. I will put it down in my to-do, you know, next week or next month, schedule it all out and get to it then. So that's proactive planning. Now, from what I just shared there, I hope you can see that some reactive tasks are actually really important. They are not bad things. Okay, they're not evil. This is not a good versus evil game. However, they do expand to fill the time we give them. Okay, proactive work only happens when we deliberately carve out the time and space for it. So just, you know, a quick peruse of that list that I just shared will show you how vital making time for proactive work is if you want to build your, you know, move your business forward. And it's not all about work either, okay? Other aspects of our life, you know, time with family and friends, non-digital hobbies, exercise, all of those things can suffer when we're caught in a reactive loop. when we're obsessively checking our phones every few minutes to see if something new or exciting has happened, rather than giving our whole focus to the present moment and what we're doing and who we're with. So for me, a couple of years ago when I had this real realization that I wasn't carving out enough time for this proactive work and life, I wasn't making this time on a daily, consistent basis. It was a big paradigm shift for me. And when I made that shift, it made a huge difference in my life. It made a huge difference in my levels of happiness and satisfaction with my work. It meant I was more efficient and more effective with the work that I did do. I made a change in my schedule. I said, okay, I'm going to have work days and I'm going to have days off. I'm going to have work hours. I'm not just going to let my work expand to fill the time, because it'll expand to fill all the time. I have scheduled time for proactive work. So, I take one day a month where I go away from my house, because I don't do that very often when it comes to a work day. I take my laptop and I go into the city or I go somewhere else and I have a day of planning and, proactive work. I might write some blog content or plan for podcasts, plan for e-courses, do some calendar scheduling, send some emails I wouldn't get around to normally, all of that sort of stuff. Plan my month ahead in detail. I make that time away from my normal space to do that work. And by getting out of my normal space, it kind of pulls me out of my normal routine and it makes it easier to do that sort of proactive work. I also, spend a lot of time, proactive time, on other aspects of my life. So I have a daily yoga practice. I do other exercise as well. And I know myself, I'm not really a huge fan of running and cycling, and I like swimming. We will have a pool one day and that will be awesome. But so I set myself a challenge. So I go, okay, I'm going to sign up for this triathlon in a couple of months' time. And that motivates me, knowing I have something I have to train for. So, learn yourself. Learn to know what will work for you to make this shift. I love spending time reading novels in the evening. So I need to make sure I've done my work for the day so I can set aside that time and read with no guilt. I don't have any guilt because I've done the work I need to do that day. I've responded to everything I need to respond to that day. And, that means that there's probably going to be at least a 12-hour period where I don't respond to emails and I don't respond to Facebook comments. And a lot of my community are in the States or, in the opposite time zone. And so very occasionally, most people are pretty cool, but sometimes I'll get, I'll wake up to two emails like, why haven't you got back to me yet? Because they forget that I'm asleep while their day's going on. So, that sort of thing does happen. And you know what? It doesn't bother me because it's not my problem. If someone's that stressed about me not responding to them in that period of time, that's their problem, not my problem. Of course, I want to help out my customers and my students and stuff, but there have to be boundaries with anything in life and in business, and you have to set your boundaries. You can't rely on external events or people or things to set your boundaries for you, because if you do, you will keep getting pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled away, and all of your time will be sucked up by other people's interests, other people's problems, other people's issues, and there will be nothing left of you. So it's really important to set those boundaries and say, I'm going to, between these hours, I'm going to check, my email this time, and this time, respond to everything, clear the decks. I'm going to get back to all my customers first thing in the morning so I know that I've gotten back to them within a good period of time. I won't let things linger. Because, if you know it's there, so this is the thing, right? You wake up in the morning, if you're one of those people who has a phone next to the bed and you grab it and you check your email and you see an email, it might be an Etsy convo, it might just be a random email, you see that first line and you can tell that it's going to be a problem. Like somebody's unhappy or somebody's got something they're stressed about. You can't just then put that down and come back to work 3 hours later. It's going to play on your mind, because it's something, there's something hanging over your head that you have to deal with. So the only way to not have that hanging over your head is to not look. So, you know, if you want to decide that workday starts at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., whatever it is for you, it's 10 a.m. for me, because I spend a few hours in the morning to myself, like doing my morning routine, you have to be strong and say, okay, I'm not going to check everything. I'm not going to log into Instagram or Facebook or my email, because if I do and I see an issue, I know it's going to spoil my morning. It's going to start stressing me out, and I'm just going to have to go deal with it. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Sometimes I will do this. I'll fall off the wagon and I'll check my email in the morning. What I try to do myself, I have the phone there because it's my alarm clock, but I turn the internet off when I go to sleep, and it doesn't come back on until I start work. Sometimes though, coming back to the beginning of this podcast, I'll be sitting there and have a thought about something that I want to look up, and I'll be like, oh, I really want to look this up, but as soon as I turn my internet on, I'm going to get all those notifications. So it's kind of like, oh, do I or don't I? And sometimes I crack and just go, I'm going to do it. And sometimes I feel like reading the news in the morning, so I have to turn the internet on and read The Guardian. And, if I do, I do. And I just have to try to be strong and not look at my email or, all the notifications that come down on my phone. They don't make noises, but some of them pop up. And I do the clear thing and clear them all before I look at them. And then I come back to it all later. So, those sorts of things. You have to work out, how to do this for yourself. How are you going to structure yourself so that you have, set time to do this reactive work, which is really important, but you also have set time to do the proactive work. And you have to think about how you're going to set boundaries in your life so that you're not dragged back into the loop, the cycle. You have to say, well, this is my switch off time, or this is my switch on time. You may be one of those people who's just really good at ignoring stuff, and if you are, that's great. But a lot of us are not good at that, and we actually need external things to help us. So things like, turning the computer off when you've finished work, turning the internet off an hour or two before bed so you're not tempted to hop on and check Instagram, things like that. Coming up with other things to do, like have you gotten into the habit of doing internet-y stuff late into the night, you've got to replace it with something. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there going, twiddling your thumbs and like itching for your fix of the internet. So you need to say, okay, well, if I'm switching stuff off and I'm making this space, what am I making this space for? Am I making this space to spend time with my kids or my husband or my friends or my parents? What am I making the space for? It can't just be a cutting off of things. It has to be for a reason. And you may find, there's other hobbies or other things. Like with me, I in the last few years have, taken up archery. I've joined the Rural Firefighters. I have committed to a consistent daily yoga practice and other exercise on most days. Spending time just to read for pleasure. All of those things I would not have time with for if I didn't make boundaries around my work and make boundaries around reactive work. So I hope that's given you a little bit of food for thought about the importance of putting boundaries around your work, really thinking about the difference between proactive and reactive work and which one is predominant. Both of them are important. So are they in balance in your life and your business? And also, outside of your business. I talk mostly about creative business on this podcast, but to me, your business is inextricably linked with the rest of your life. If you're neglecting other aspects of your life because of your business, that's not going to work in the long run. If you're neglecting your health to grow your business, please stop. Your health and you and your family and your friends are more important than your business. Obviously we have to all make a living, and if your business is you're scraping by and you need to pay your bills and put your food on the table, then that's your priority for now, and that's the way it has to be. But it shouldn't always be that way. That shouldn't be how it is forever, and you have to be aware of the sacrifices you're making. If you're sacrificing part of yourself to grow your business. That's okay for a period of time, but you have to do it mindfully, and you have to realize that the pendulum will swing. And something, if you've been neglecting something in the rest of your life, it will come back to bite you at some stage. So you need to do your best to, you know, create that dynamic balance. It's never a, you know, static thing. It's always moving and shifting. And none of this stuff is, you know, carved in stone. There will always be exceptions. There will always be times when you have to break the rules or bend the rules. And that's okay, as long as you make them in the first place and you're conscious about breaking the rules. You know, there'll be, like, for example, Sundays are my day off, like, completely offline. I try to stay offline. I don't check my email. I don't deal with anything. However, when I launch a course, generally Sundays are when the cutoff is. And so I know ahead of time, I have to get on, fix up my website, respond to any new students and send an email. And I consciously make that decision that to break my own rule on that day to do that. And that's fine, because I've done it with mindfulness. I haven't just, you know, been pulled into a reactive thing. So really keep that in mind too. Everything's always in dynamic flow. It's all really about kind of coming from that. For those of you who've ever done mindfulness meditation, it's like coming from that place of the witness mentality inside. So you basically, you know, when you're in your thoughts, you get caught up in your thoughts. But there can be this moment of clarity where you, it's almost like you take a step back from yourself, and you are this dispassionate person actually watching your thoughts like they're a movie. And it's that sort of position that you need to come from when you're looking at your day, is that place of mindful awareness of going, okay, instead of being caught up in reacting, in these reactive thoughts and moments and stuff, take that step back and go, okay, how can I deal with this? How can I put boundaries on this? Do I need to react to this thing? Does it mean that I need to spend 3 hours just dealing with this fire that's arisen? And that's okay, because it's, you know, it's a once-off. But is there a way I could have mediated this in the first place? So reactive versus proactive. You know, think about it. Do you see this tendency for reactive, you know, being caught in the reactive cycle in yourself, in your life, or in your work? Do you have some time set aside every day for proactive work, or is this something you really need to work on including in your work and in your life? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, guys. If you have some thoughts to share with me, please do come over to the show notes, createandthrive.com, look for episode 45 of the podcast and leave your thoughts there, or share them with me in email form, jess@createandthrive.com, or on the Facebook page, Create and Thrive Facebook page. I'd love to hear, you know, how this sort of tension between reactive and proactive work plays out in your life. And if you feel like, after listening to this podcast, if you feel like a change needs to happen, and if so, what's that change and how are you going to do it? You know, when thinking about that right now, right there, is proactive work. So, oh, finally, before I forget, I'm lining up at the moment a whole bunch of wonderful people to interview on the podcast. So, if there's anyone that you would love to hear me interview on the Create and Thrive podcast, please let me know. Again, you can just email me, or, you know, shoot me a message on Instagram, whatever. If there's somebody, I'm in the enviable position of having a platform that I can invite people onto. So if there's someone that you would really love to hear their story of how they've, you know, made their business a success, please let me know and I will check them out, because I don't know everybody. I'm sure there are some awesome people out there I've never heard of, so I would love to hear from you who they are. Okay, Thrivers, I think I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being here with me, letting me ramble at you. As always, I hope you found that useful and inspiring, and it will help you get out there and create a thriving life and business. I'm Jess Van Den. This has been the Create and Thrive podcast for another week. Thank you so much for being with me, and bye for now.